Because he, I mean, it's been two and a half years. I think it was November of 2016 we were last here. 15? It was about 2.5 years ago when we were here last time. And your worship group is amazing. I don't remember that last time. Amazing. And since that time that we were here talking for the first time about Minyana Dancer, I know that you as a church have been really involved in raising money and awareness and praying and supporting us. It's so good to, and constantly we hear of Bromsgrove Baptist. So thank you so much for all of you who've been involved and following. Just those who have followed and commented and been involved in lots of different ways in what we've been doing. It's really important to us. I'm kind of back here to give you an update. The last time I was here, we were just about to begin, we were just starting a project, a new project, in a place called Kanjida Salas. And so I want to tell you a little bit about what's been happening since then. Now we have two projects, one in Medjina and one in Kanjida Salas. Medjina is here, it's number 74, it's kilometer 74, 75, 76 of the BR116. And Kanjida Salas is right at the end of this roll, 100 kilometers up, further up on the BR116. For those who don't know, we work, Minyana Dancer is a charity that works with girls aged between 10 and 17. And we've chosen to work along this motorway, it's called the BR116. It's the longest and the busiest motorway in Brazil. It starts on the border with Uruguay, right in the south, and goes all the way up to Fortaleza in the north. I'll bring this up here. Brazil's here. The motorway basically does that, splits the country like that. And we work in this part here, which is between the state of Minas and the state of Bahia, two big states in Brazil. One's in the southeast part and one's in the northeast. And this is the stretch of motorway where we work. I explained last time how I came across this motorway. As I said, I'd worked in Brazil before, but then my life had changed, and I was living in London working as a journalist. And it was one moment. I'd never imagined that I would go back to Brazil anytime to live. And yet one moment changed all that when I was in Brazil with Dean Brody, a friend and singer from Canada, and that we happened to find ourselves 2 o'clock in the morning on the outskirts of a remote town in Brazil. We were doing a trip. We were about to go and sleep in that town because it was 2 o'clock in the morning, find a hotel for the night, and then the next day we were going to go back to Rio, stay a few days on the beach, and then travel back. He was going back to Canada, and I was going back to London, and we would just carry on with our lives. And yet, that moment, 2 o'clock in the morning, we came across this girl standing on the side of this motorway, a motorway which I didn't know which one it was. I was just driving. And this girl, there's a picture of her on our display when you go back later. We stopped, and this girl began to explain a bit about her life. She was 11 years old. She was all dolled up. I'd worked with street kids in Brazilian street girls, and I almost didn't stop because I just couldn't imagine how this girl, who was all nicely, had her hair nicely done and in a pretty dress, could be involved in something like that. But we stopped, and it soon became clear that we'd come across a girl in peril, and she talked about how she was standing on the side of the road waiting for trucks to go by. A truck would stop, take her, use her, travel up the motorway right into the darkness, and then leave her, and sometimes throw her out onto the tarmac. And she showed us the scars on her body where she'd been tossed onto the road again. There she'd have to wait for another one to bring her back. And her night was spent like this, going up and down the motorway, selling her body to men, to give the money to her family. And that kind of, suddenly, I felt that I'd been, there was a reason why I'd been allowed to meet this girl and to look a little bit into her life. And the next day, instead of going to Rio, we decided to travel further up the motorway and to see if this girl was there were more girls like her, if there was, this was a problem that extended beyond that stretch of motorway where we were, whether other towns had a similar problem. And the first place we arrived after traveling up from about the end of the motorway there, right up into Medina here, was that this our eyes were being opened to a tragedy that I thought I knew about children's issues around the world and never heard of. And as we delved deeper and began to get to know people in the town and in other towns and get to know other stories, we began to realize this was an epidemic of child prostitution along a remote motorway in Brazil. We began to hear the names of girls who later and today we know and love. But at that time, we were just hearing about one tragedy after another, girls who were being taken to the motorway by their own mothers who would negotiate the price and sell them, fathers who were building rooms on the side of their houses where girls where they'd sell their own daughters. Terrible things like that. After that experience, I returned to Brazil and we began Menina Dança working in Medina where we started our Pink House. And as we began, so we opened a house in the center of the town there and we invited the girls to come. And today we work with 80 to 100 girls in the Pink House in Medina, a place of safety where they can come and where they can learn how to dance. But the dance is a way, as we did with the street girls in Belo Horizonte, is a way of raising up their self-esteem, attracting them, showing them that they're beautiful on the inside and on the outside, that they can achieve, and beginning to spark this desire in them to change, to dream, to be different, and also a way to bring them in so that we can talk to them and get to know them and deal with issues in their lives, which is really what's happening. And today I will in a few minutes talk about how in Medina we've seen so many breakthroughs, because we've been there now for 5 years and we're seeing girls really begin to change and be transformed. And then when I came here last time, we had this idea of starting a new project in Cândido Sales. So this is Medina here, and Cândido Sales is up here. And the year after, we walked, and we got people to sponsor the kilometers between here and there. Wally and I walked for 100 kilometers over 4 days in order to raise awareness and support in order for us to open in Cândido Sales. And just like in Medina, when we first arrived there and we began to hear these stories of girls, began to hear names and cases, when we first arrived in Cândido Sales, we also began to hear stories from the people there. I remember Wally and I arrived in Cândido Sales a couple of years ago for the first time, trying to find partners, people who from the town who might be able to help us set up a new project in the town. And we found out about a couple, a pastor and his wife from a local church, who were interested in helping us to begin. And the pastor's wife is a nurse working in the local hospital. And we talked to her, went into the town. I remember standing outside her house and talking to her about this girl called Alejandra. In fact, she was talking about, this couple had been praying for what she said was 10 years for God to do something in their town, because they were seeing so many young girls being lost and being disappearing, dying, being lost to child prostitution. But she mentioned one particular girl called Alejandra. And one night at 2 o'clock in the morning in hospital, this girl had been rushed into hospital, semi-conscious and unable to stand up, because at the age of 12, she spent the night being abused by lots of different men. She told us about this particular girl. And she said that she's always trying to reach the girl, but whenever she saw her on the streets, she'd run away. Sometimes she'd curl up on the pavement. She didn't want anyone touching her. She was completely shattered and just didn't believe there was any more hope in her life. And just like in Regina, Alejandra is one of the girls that we are now working with in Canjasales with our new pink house. It's been 2 years. She's still difficult, and she still hasn't... What we came to understand in Canjasales, like in Regina, was that the girls just simply believe this is what they should be doing. So Alejandra, as we got to know her, we saw that her routine, which is every night going to the motorway and spending the entire night taking trucks, traveling up there, just doing prostitution throughout the night, then coming back home and sleeping, and then doing it, and then waking up later in the afternoon and going out again, is just simply what she believes is normal. And so the first challenge with these girls is getting them to understand this isn't normal, that they don't have to live like this, that there's a different way, and beginning through the activities and the love that they receive in the house to begin to change the way they think and the way they think about themselves and so many other things. So I want to show a video now of our work in Canjasales, and in particular Alejandra's story. You'll see our team going out onto the streets and doing the work they do, reaching the girls. You'll see them meeting Alejandra on the street. You'll see her giving an interview. This was in November last year, a Danish TV crew went and did some filming, and they gave me the footage, and so you'll see that there's a Danish reporter there speaking to her. She does an interview on the side of the motorway. In the interview with Alejandra on the motorway, you'll see that she's with a girl called Erica. And as we were doing this filming, we understood that Erica's mother was the one behind their prostitution, who was always going out, taking them to the streets, and was always somewhere. And then you'll see Alejandra the next day in her house, in her bedroom, and you'll meet her, her grandmother, who she calls father. What we discovered was Alejandra's mother died on the motorway. She was also a prostitute, and she was an alcoholic. And one day, instead of drinking, she drank pure alcohol, thinking that it was alcohol, and died. So this girl has so many traumas in her life, so many things that happened to her, so many people she's lost. She trusts no one, but you'll see how, for the first time in her life, she's beginning to open up and show some trust, and that is to the people in the pink house, because when she doesn't go for a few days, they go after her. When she disappears from town, they try and find her. And so she's beginning to understand that somebody loves her, and this, we believe, will make a difference in her life, as we've seen in Regina as well. So can we have I hope you can see the subtitle.